I was listening to a message by someone that I value highly, and he was going over a verse, and it included two words that just jumped out at me. And the words are according to, according to. And I knew that the words according to meant that there was some sort of standard, or there was someone who was speaking, or someone that it applied to. And so I decided just to look it up, and it's the word kata, K-A-T-A. And from the Greek, it means a horizontal motion along which the action proceeds. Okay? So, Cindy, would you stand up, please? Okay. Cindy is the starting point. Okay? So, Cindy then has put Barry in motion. Okay, Barry is in motion because of Cindy. So according to Cindy, Barry moves. Okay, so I wanted to do that so you can see that there is always a person responsible when there's an according to. Okay, thank you, Cindy. And that was the thing that the Holy Spirit pointed out to me. He says the words according to assigns responsibility. And it also identifies the measuring stick. Okay? What we're going to do tonight, we're going to look at according to God, according to Jesus, and according to us. Okay? And we're going to spend the greatest amount of time on according to us. What I want you to get from tonight is that you determine your future. You determine your rewards. You determine what you will and will not receive from the Lord because according to. And that's what I want you to see tonight. Don't be haphazard. Don't be lazy concerning your future, because according to Scripture, you play a huge role in your future. And it doesn't matter what Jesus does. It doesn't matter what God does. It's on you. And that's what we're going to see tonight. And we're going to look at Galatians chapter 1. We're going to look at kata for God, when it's used in reference of God, to give you just to give you a running start on how it's used. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, it says, well, Paul an apostle, verse 1, not of men, neither of man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches at Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God our Father. Who is responsible for delivering us from this present evil world? Who? What does it say? Grace be to you, peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. Why? That he might deliver us from this present evil world. So who has the responsibility? Jesus did. Okay? We couldn't deliver ourselves. So he had the responsibility because it was the Father's will. Okay? Let's look at one more. Philippians 4:19. It says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to whose riches and glory? His. So whose responsibility is it to supply our needs? God's. Do you see that?
Yes.
Okay. Let's look at Jesus. Romans chapter 2, verse 16. And I gave you more than I'm going to cover because I hope that you will go back and take a look at some of these, because I think they will bless you. See, I give you more because when you go back and you get into it yourself, it does more for you than me standing up here talking. because you are engaging Scripture. You are praying in tongues. You are getting the teaching from the teacher. Okay? So, Romans chapter 2, verse 16, it says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. I know it says my gospel, but it's really the gospel of Jesus Christ. Who does the judging? God, right? He does. He's the one responsible for doing the judging, which means we aren't. We aren't, okay? So we are not responsible for sitting back when someone does something, trying to figure out why, what's the motivation. It doesn't matter. God is the one who judges the secrets of the hearts. We pray. That's our job. We pray. Okay? So we have seen then kata according to from God's viewpoint and according to from Jesus' viewpoint, just to give you a quick sample, okay, that I want you to go back into. On your notes, we're going to get now into kata used in reference to Christians. And I want you to put a 1 by Romans chapter 2, verse 6. I want you to put a 2 by 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8. I want you to put a 3 by 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. And then down here where it says 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, and then you see 4 and 14, put a 4 by the 4:14. Okay? And there is a reason why. We're in chapter 2. It says, after talking about all the things in chapter 1, verse 1 of chapter 2 says, therefore thou art inexcusable. You are without excuse. Okay? You are without excuse. Do I need to read that one more time? Put a 1 by Romans chapter 2, verse 6. Put a 2 by 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8. Put a 3 by 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. And then put a 4 by 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. Okay? Therefore, thou art inexcusable, which means we have no excuse. Okay? And because we have no excuse, look what verse 6 says. Who will render, talking about, well, let's read it. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doeth the same thing. So if you are judging someone for doing something that you do in the closet, you are judging yourself. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Is not going to happen. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and the forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Verse 5. But after thy hardness and impotent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath. How do we treasure up wrath? By having a hard heart. Against the day of wrath and revelation of Jesus Christ, a revelation of the righteous judgment of God, verse 6, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Let that sink in. When we were born again, we all were born with an equal opportunity. God is an equal opportunity Father. When we get born again, we all start at the same place. Okay? We all start at the same place. The Apostle Paul, when he was born again, he started at the same place we did. Peter, same place we did. He started at the same place. It is what you do from that point on that determines your rewards. Because you all start at the same place. Neil and I start at the same place. So it doesn't matter what Barry does that affects Neil, because it doesn't. It's what Neil does with what God gave him that's what matters. So we are going to be rendered according to our deeds. And see, that is a theme that runs throughout the New Testament. Number two on your list, and I'm going to go back in a bit, but number two on your list is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. I want to hit all of these at the same time to really nail it how important what you do is important. Because, see, so many in the body of Christ want to blame God, not blame God, but want to say that God is in control, that God has more to say about their lives than they do. And it's not true. You know why it's not true? We have God's life on the inside. That treasure in earthen vessels, that's what we have on the inside. Okay? Now look at verse 3, chapter 3, verse 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive someone else's reward according to what someone else did. Judy's looking like, Barry, I don't think so. No. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to whether he's planting or whether he's watering. Do you see that? So think about this for a minute. If you're not planting and you are not watering, you don't get a reward. Do you see that? It's God's expectation that we're going to plant or we're going to water. Okay? Now, when you talk about rewards, rewards sound so selfish. It sounds so selfish. Oh, I want all the rewards I can get. I want rewards. It sounds selfish, but it's not. And I'll tell you why. Because your rewards, ladies and gentlemen, are based on how much you love him. Because how much you love him is how much you're willing to sacrifice for him. The more you're willing to sacrifice for him, the more rewards. And it's not that you're sacrificing just to get the rewards. You are sacrificing because you love him. The rewards are just, they come along with the love. Okay? So the rewards are based on how much you love him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, it reads, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in this body." You see that? Done in this body, according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. So, whatever Barry does in this earth suit, the flesh, that is what's going to determine his rewards. It's whatever we do. It's what we do while we are here. Because once we leave this place, we can't earn rewards. Okay? "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to..." Who's the person responsible? Me. "To that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Last one in this little section. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. Like I said, I'm covering all of these at one time to get the flow going. In verse 14 it says, "Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works." The Lord reward him according to his works. Now, I ask you a question, ladies and gentlemen. If there are people who are doing you much evil, are they going to get rewarded according to their works? Yes, they will. I mean, Paul is no different than us. He was a son of God. We're sons and daughters of God. The people who do us much evil, they will be rewarded according to their works, unless you intercede and pray. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, They're stupid. They just don't know what they're doing. Forgive them, Father. And you intercede for them. And that's what we have to do. Now, do you see how what we do in this life affects our lives? Okay? Affects our future. Okay? Turn to Romans chapter 4, verse 18. This is one that God has a role in, responsibility, as does the person. And I want you to see this. Talk about Abraham, once God made the promise. And it also applies to us, ladies and gentlemen. Who, Abraham, against hope, believed in hope, that he, Abraham, might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken. Who spoke to him? God. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. But what was Abraham's responsibility? To believe, to have faith. This word has been delivered to us. This word was spoken. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. We have the responsibility, just like Abraham, to believe what it says so that we can see the manifestation of it in this life now. Okay? Look in Romans chapter 10. I think I won't do that. Let's go to 15. Look at verse 5. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. Okay, the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded. So he has granted us to do that. So whose responsibility now is it to become like-minded? It's ours. It's ours. Okay? Verse 6. Why do we need to be like-minded? That ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We glorify God when we all speak the same thing. Turn over a couple of pages to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. It says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing. No matter what denomination you're in, you need to be speaking the same thing. No, that's not what it means. It means you all speak the same thing. And that you be there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. This is not happening in the body of Christ today. It is not happening. And I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there are certain churches this is not happening. You got division in churches. But God is saying that since God has granted you to be like-minded, he's given you the capability because of the new nature on the inside of you. I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that there be you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you. There is only one way that we're all going to speak the same thing. And just reading the Word of God is not enough. We have to have interaction with the teacher, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. We have to pray in tongues if we're all going to speak the same thing and be like-minded. There's just no other option other than that. Okay? One more time. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. When it comes to what this Word of God says, we are of the same mind. Okay? I want to read, to drill it home for you, I want to read Romans chapter 15, verses 5 and 6 from the Amplified, and I also want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 from the Amplified. Romans 15, 5 and 6. Now may the God who gives the power of patient endurance, steadfastness, and who supplies encouragement grant you to live in such mutual harmony and such full sympathy with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may unanimously, with united hearts and one voice, praise and glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. But I urge and entreat you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in perfect harmony and full agreement in what you say, and that there be no divisions, that there be no dissensions or factions or divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in your common understanding and in your opinions and judgments. That is available, ladies and gentlemen. Even though we're not seeing nearly as much as we need to see in the body of Christ, that is available. Okay? We're talking about things that we have responsibility for. Not God, not Jesus, but us. Okay? And this is how we're going to be judged, by the things that we are responsible for. I love Cindy. I love Judy Nelson, Judy Newman, Mary Jo, I love them. Lee, I love them. But I'm not going to be judged based on what you all do. I'm going to be judged based on what Barry does. And you all should thank God you're not going to be based on what Barry does. You're going to be based on what you do. Praise God. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, look at verse 2. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh, as if we were not born again, as if we walked according to the flesh. If you don't renew your mind, you can give the appearance of walking according to the flesh. Corinthians says you're carnal. Okay? Look in Galatians chapter 2. Look at verse 14. Again, we're looking at things that you're responsible for. Galatians chapter 2, verse 14. And this is when the Apostle Paul and Peter were with the Gentiles, and certain from James came who were Jews, and Peter separated himself from the Gentiles. He was enjoying the meal, and all of a sudden he stopped eating because the Jews came. But when I, Paul, saw that they walked not uprightly, and that word uprightly means to be straight-footed. You only can be straight-footed when it comes to the Word of God. It's the same word that's used in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, rightly dividing, the same word. But when I saw that they walk not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou Gentiles to live as do the Jews? So Paul is saying, when I saw that they walk not uprightly according to truth, what is your responsibility, ladies and gentlemen? To walk according to truth. That's the only choice you have. There's no gray in that at all. It's truth or nothing. Okay? Walk according to truth. Look at 6:16 in Galatians. As many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. According to what rule? Because see, the rule is the measuring sticks. What is he talking about? Let's back up and let's go to verse 11. You see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised only, lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law. Do you see that? Even the ones who were circumcised were not keeping the law. Why? They couldn't. but desire to have you circumcised that you may that they may glorify in your flesh. They want to add you to their number. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. When it says the world is crucified unto me, he's saying the world is dead. And then he says, I am crucified to the world. I am dead to the world. That's how we are. That's how we are. In 2 Timothy, Paul talks about soldiers. And we know that in the Roman army, when they were trained, when they were ready for combat, they were told that you are already dead. So the Roman soldier was told that so you're already dead, and the battle hadn't even started yet. That was the attitude that they were supposed to go into battle with. I'm already dead. So since I'm already dead, I'm going to fight in such a way that I take no prisoners. That's how we are to be. We need to fight and take no prisoners. Okay? But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule. What rule? Circumcision availeth nothing, and uncircumcision availeth nothing. It's all a new creation in Christ Jesus. Okay? So that's an example of a measuring stick. Turn to Ephesians. Chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. The verse we're after is verse 2. And you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. I want you to see all the past tense, the words, the word. We're dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. In time past. And when Paul talks about walking according to the course of this world, because we, in time past, had a sin nature, we couldn't get out of it. We couldn't get out of this world. We were bound by this world in time past. And that's what Paul is saying. You couldn't get out. In time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. He had influence. He had dominion over you. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And I could spend a lot of time there based on what the Lord talked about this morning. Among whom also we all had our conversations in time past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. He's rich in mercy, but it was his love that did it. It was his love. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. He's made us alive together with Christ. What this is literally saying is that when God raised Christ from the dead, when he resurrected him, he raised us from the dead. That's what it said. Hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and has raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Okay? In times past, we walked according to the course of this world. That was a life that is now dead. So if you're walking according to that to the world now, that world is dead to you, it's because you're not doing Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Transforming your mind by renewing it. Look in chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works outside of us, in us. Who's responsible for the power in us? We are. Well then, Brother Barry, if we have the power in us, why aren't we demonstrating that power? I am so glad you asked. Look at verse 16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. So whatever he's going to grant us is going to be according to the riches of his glory. to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. That's what he's granting us. That, and why do we need to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man? That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. So Christ had, we have to be strengthened with might in the inner man, which will produce Christ dwelling in our hearts by faith, which also produces being rooted and grounded in what? Love. It's all about love, people. Galatians says, Galatians chapter 6, verse 5, somewhere, 5, verse 6, says, faith worketh by love. The more love you have in your life, the more faith you're going to have. I have said this, and I'm going to say it again. This walk that we're on, it's not hard. It's not hard. The thing that makes this walk difficult is because as we are walking, we have to make decisions. What am I willing to give up to walk? What am I willing to give up to walk? I know what I need to do. I know what the Word of God says. But what do I need to do what the Word of God says? And that's always the issue. That is always the issue. What are we willing to give up? What are we willing to kill? What are we willing to mortify so that we can do what the Word of God says? It's not a mystery. It's not hard. We know what it says, but what do are we willing to give up to kill, to mortify, to do it? And I'm going to tell you, at this point in a lot of the body of Christ, not a whole bunch, don't make it too hard. Don't make me give up my PlayStation. Moving right along. It says, then being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, and depth, and height. What that simply means is you get to see the whole picture. When you're walking in love, you get to see the whole picture. And again, look at what verse 19 says. And to know the love of Christ. That's why, ladies and gentlemen, that the power that's working, that's in us, is not working because of love. That's why. And to know the love of Christ which passes all understanding, and that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. God's expectation is that when Lee walks into the room, God is going to be with him. God's expectation. It's when Michelle walks in the room, everything that God is going to walk into the room with Michelle. That's what it says, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Okay? That's available. That's available. But the question is always going to be, how much do you love him? That's the question. Okay? Look at chapter 4, verse 20. Well, we looked at that this morning. That verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation of old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, look at verse 18. 1 Timothy 1:18. This is Paul talking to Timothy. To give you, we've talked about this before, Timothy was the pastor of the largest church in Ephesus. And so among the things that he had to deal with was elders who had been there longer, a lot of the influences of the city of Ephesus was being brought into the church. He had to deal with that. He was young. All of these things, all of these pressures, Nero wanted to kill them all. So he was living in under a pressure that was, we're starting to see a little bit now in the body of Christ today. So in verse 18, Paul says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. So what is it that Timothy is responsible for? Knowing the prophecies that went before on him. Now, let's take this one step. I have been here since 2002. On the website, there are prophecies up to, I think it's 2007. Those are prophecies that went before on you. What am I telling you, ladies and gentlemen? You are responsible. God has spoken to you. He's spoken to you. If he's going to take time out of a service to deliver a word, and it doesn't matter who the vessel is, but to deliver a word, it is a word to you. I don't want to put anyone under condemnation, and that is not my intent. But if you're not looking at those words, then you are not doing verse 18. You won't be able to war a good warfare. Because those words come at a time when the Lord says, my people need to hear them. And if you just hear them when you're here on Sundays, or I mean whenever they deliver them, you never hear them again, or you don't go back and take time to read them, you're missing an opportunity to hear from your Father. Second Timothy chapter 1. Look at verse 8 and look at verse 9. He's still talking to Timothy. Let's back up. Oh, this stuff is so good. All of it is so good. Verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that is in thee also. And I mentioned this before. You grandmothers and you mothers, you play a role in your children's lives and grandchildren, whether you realize it or not. And when you get to heaven, God's going to remind you that you played a role, whether you realized it or not. Wherefore, verse 6, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Verse 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Do you see that? We are to be partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Why are there going to be afflictions related to the gospel? Satan comes immediately to steal the word. That's why the afflictions come. Mark chapter 4, we know the record. But he says, be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. But we have a power on the inside of us that will enable us to endure the afflictions. Verse 9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given in Christ Jesus before the world began. God had already put the plan in place that once we walked into that plan by accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior, then the purpose and the grace to go along with the purpose God gave us. Okay? Look at chapter 4, verse 14. But I wanted to read that one to remind you once again, afflictions are coming. Afflictions are coming. Look at verse 14. Chapter 4, verse 14. It says, Alexander Coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Okay? Now, why did God put the responsibility on us? Why didn't he say, okay, once Jesus died and rose from the dead, everything is done. You don't have to do anything. Why did God put responsibility on us? Let's close in Colossians chapter 2. We're going, verse 10 is where we want to go, but I want to start with verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ, received Christ, received Christ. It means that you have heard, you have obeyed, you have listened, you have made him part of you. After you're born again. As ye have therefore received Christ the Lord, walk ye in him. So we can receive him, but we don't have to walk. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Christ dwelleth the Godhead. In Christ dwelleth the Godhead. Okay, bodily. Verse 10, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. You see the word fullness in verse 9 and the word complete in verse 10? It means they're the same Greek word. It means to be crammed full. I want you to capture this image. Verse 9 says that in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Verse 10 says, and because of that, you are complete in him. Do you see what he is saying? Just like the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in him, and we are complete in him, everything that God is dwells in us. That's why he could say according to, because he knew that everything in us we have the ability to do it. There is no temptation that is taking you that is not common to man, and God will make a way out. Yeah, because we are complete in him. That's why he could say according to, you are the one responsible for your future. You would want responsible for the words that have gone before you to access those words. Those are the same words, ladies and gentlemen, that have life in them, just like this book does. So I want to encourage you tonight. Your future rests in your hands. Determine what your future is going to be by your responding to the Word of God. By your according to's, your responsibilities. I thought it was neat when I really got into the according to, because, you know, you read things and they're just two little words that you don't think too much about. But now I hope you do think about those two little words and what they mean to you and your walk. Very important. Very doable, because you have inside of you, you are complete in him. There is nothing lacking in you to accomplish everything he wants you to accomplish.